Hey, super friends, we wanted to tell you a little bit about some of the appearances that we're going to be making out in the public so you can come by and meet us. If you don't know, April 13th, 14th, and 15th, we're going to be in Portland, Oregon at Wizard World Portland. That's right. At the, I believe it's the Oregon Convention Center. I'm not certain about that. But we're going to be at the Wizard World Portland. We're going to have a booth. You can come see us all 3 days of the con. That's right. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're going to be there. We're going to be at booth 1220. So please stop by if you're a fan of this podcast. Say hi to us. We'll have some Geek History Lesson pins for sale. Mm-hmm. We'll have some awesome art for sale. And we'll have issues of our comic book, Jupiter Jet. But if you just want to stop by and talk Geek History Lesson with us and take a picture, that's fine too. Come by booth 1220. But if booths aren't for you, we're going to be on a couple panels. We're going to be on Saturday, the 14th from 12:30 in room E142. We're going to be in the Writing for Comics panel. It's going to be me. It's going to be Ashley. And it's going to be writer Victor Dandridge talking about comic books.
Love him.
And then that same day at 3 o'clock on the 14th in the Portland Ballroom, I am going to be talking to Ezra Miller and Ray Fisher of the Justice
Flash
League.
And Cyborg.
Flash and Cyborg.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I am. I'm pretty excited about that. It's going to be really fun. And I'm going to see if I can get a Flash running picture with Mr. Ezra Miller to continue my trend of Flashes.
Do it.
So don't forget to check out both those things. But if you're in the Portland, Oregon area, or if you're just coming to Wizard World Portland because you like comic book conventions, April 13th, 14th, and 15th, we're going to be there all 3 days, booth 1220. Please come say hi.
Bring us donuts.
Please bring us donuts or just, you know, hugs.
Hugs are good.
We'll take hugs.
Fist bumps are good.
We want to meet every one of you in the Mind University that live in the Pacific Northwest or people that are just visiting. So we'll see you at Wizard World Portland.
I bet you think that Superman's best friend is Jimmy Olsen, but we're here today to tell you that it's Lana Lang, because your geek history lesson on Lana Lang is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Applepie Inman. Welcome to the Mind University, because Geek History Lesson is the podcast where we teach you about one character in pop culture. And today is a special day because friends, compatriots, super friends, Legion of Hall of Justice people. I don't know if you know, but this year is the 80th anniversary of Superman. And in honor of that, and in honor of the encroaching Action Comics 1000, we're going to start doing some Superman subjects, starting off with Superman's true best friend and his true special lady, Lana Lang.
Heck yeah.
All right, Ashley, so you are teaching this lesson on Lana Lang. You know, I don't know, I assume you learned stuff that you didn't know.
I did.
Okay, so let's move right into the first section of the podcast, the 10-cent origin, where Ash is going to give you the really quick version of everything you need to know about Lana Lang, unless you go to a cocktail party in Smallville, which is never going to happen. It's going to be a sock hop with pie. It's going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be a pie hop, sock hop, fried chicken dance.
Lana Lang is, of course, a DC Comics character. She is Clark Kent's bestest best friend, also known as Superwoman and Insect Queen, a cute name for anyone, who first appeared in Superboy number 10 in September of 1950. She was created by a legendary Batman creator, Bill Finger, and John Sekela. Her team affiliations include the Superman family and LexCorp, and her abilities as Superwoman include electromagnetic energy manipulation and being red. And she was famously portrayed by Emily Proctor in Lois and Clark, who I think is a bad casting choice. Annette O'Toole played her in the Superman 3 movie and then grew up to play Ma Kent on Smallville.
Yep.
Where Lana Lang was then portrayed by Kristen Kreuk.
Maybe. I think it's Kreuk. I've heard it Kreuk.
Well, it's spelled K-R-E-U-K.
I don't know. Weird. I don't know.
You have a weird last name, Kristen. I'm sorry. I'm sure you are a fan of the podcast.
I find it very interesting you went with Lois and Clark as the number one.
Because, you know, so when you do research on it, Lana's actually been in a ton of Superman live action and cartoon versions.
She's in the anime series, too.
She is. I tried to come up with what I thought were the most iconic ones, and I just don't even
remember her from Lois and Clark.
But I was so struck by the fact that she was played by the terrible Southern lawyer from the West Wing I wanted to include it in, basically for my own satisfaction.
Sure.
And I know you're a diehard Lois and Clark fan.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I have seen every episode of that series.
There you go. Why don't we move on to the meet cute?
All right, the meet cute. Cute is the section of our podcast where we tell about where we first meted and cuted the character in question. It's a term for romantic comedies, guys.
Yeah.
All right. It's romantic comedies writings. Ashley, I'm very curious about where you first meted and cuted Lana Lang.
Yeah. So I know she has been in the animated series. I don't know if I ever saw her there.
She's in the Legion of Superheroes episode where they flash back to Clark.
Right. But I don't know if I saw that as a child.
Oh, sure.
I don't have any specific memory. My first memory was I never watched Smallville, but I knew people who did watch Smallville. And someone was like, blah, 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 Lana Lang. And I remember being like, that's stupid. What a stupid, dumbed down version of Lois Lane they did.
I mean, Lana Lang did come after Lois.
Little did I know that she's actually a fully realized character.
Yep.
But I remember that reaction so strongly and being like, you couldn't even do Lois Lane. God.
What's with this LL names, guys?
Yeah, we're actually going to talk a little bit about that. So that was my first memory of Lana Lang. So, Jason, where did you first meet Lana Lang?
I first met Lana Lang not in Death of Superman, which is my first gateway into Superman comic books, but in the follow-up storyline, Funeral for a Friend, which had all black covers and stuff like that. And Lana appears in that. Now, when I first met her, she was already married to her husband, who was Pete Ross.
Yes, we'll talk about that.
I'm not a big Pete Ross fan at all, but you know, it's interesting. I would imagine most people's answers for this are going to be Smallville because Lana is essential to that series.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, especially in that series when Lois shows up, how Lois feels like the invader, even though Lois existed in Superman's chronological timeline way earlier than Lana.
Like almost 20 years before Lana?
Yeah, about 20 years. But Lana to me, it's interesting, and well, I assume we'll get this in discussion somewhere, but Lana to me is a very interesting person, almost the one that got away, if you will.
Well, depending on the continuity.
Yeah, they have, I don't know, Clark and Lana have a very interesting relationship, but Funeral for a Friend is the first time because, you know, she's the sort of contemporary friend of Clark that's really good with Mom and Pa.
Yeah, there you go.
Funeral for a Friend.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, let's go into the main meat of the lesson, History 101, where Professor Ashley is going to take us down Smallville memory lane.
Yes.
That's not a song. Actually, the song for Smallville is like, somebody save me.
I'm gonna say right here, Smallville, terrible.
No, I love them.
Terrible.
You're crazy. That song's so good.
If you want Jason to record his Smallville song, go support us on Patreon.
I can't hit that note. It's too high. And it's too auto-tuned. So tell us about Lana Lang.
All right, so she joins the Double L Club along with Lois Lane and Lex Luthor, meaning that she's an important character to Superman. That's how you know they're important. Jimmy Olsen doesn't count. When she was first introduced, she was conceived of as a teenage love interest for Clark Kent / Superboy, because in the original continuity, when Clark was young, he was Superboy. She grew up to become a romantic rival for Lois Lane and then was later retconned into being Clark's best friend as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
She first appeared in live action only 11 years after she was first created in a 1961 failed pilot called The Adventures of Superboy. You can find it on the internet. You can find pictures of it on the internet. She's a cute little blonde lady. When she was introduced during the Silver Age, Lana lived on the farm next door to the Kents, which I think is very sweet, and was notable for her red hair. Now, she's created 17 years after
Lois or Superman.
I'm sorry, Barbara Gordon was created 17 years after Lana Lang.
Oh, that was a turn.
Well, I just think it's weird that they both have red hair, because to me, like, red hair is a very uncommon
Jimmy Olsen.
Right, trope, but like, what's up with red hair?
Lex Luthor has red hair.
I just think it's so very strange. Her personality at this time is very watered down Lois Lane. She's spunky, she's opinionated, she sometimes gets herself into trouble and then needs to be saved by Superboy, who's like wandering around in a cornfield somewhere. I don't know what people do on farms. Like adult Lois, young Lana even has an ongoing subplot where she's trying to discover if Clark Kent's identity is Superboy and then thinking about outing him, which seems A, irresponsible, and B, like a mean thing to do to your very best friend. So, Jason, this brings me to the question, is Lana a good best friend to Clark?
It does really depend on what version.
Well, we're kind of talking about the Silver Age. Right?
No. In the Silver Age, she's a terrible best friend. But she's very similar in the tone to Lois, because Golden Age Lois, I love Lois Lane, and you guys have heard me talk.
Episode 50.
Yeah, episode 50 of Geekish Wrestling, if you want to go back to it. Golden Age Lois Lane is almost abusive to Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Of how much she hates him.
Yeah.
So it's just the way that women were written in comics at the time, mm-hmm. and it's not, especially supporting character women.
Yeah. So here's a good example of a classic Lana Lang, good idea gone bad, must be saved by Superboy story that, in my opinion, gets way out of hand. So remember during the meet cute where I said that Lana was once known as the Insect Queen?
Yeah.
Well, the Insect Queen debuts in Superboy number 124 in October of 1965. So these bug aliens, right? They land in Smallville because all aliens in the DC universe land in Smallville, Kansas.
That's right. They have a there's a bullseye. I don't know if you look at Smallville from space.
Somebody just like mowed their cornfield into the shape of a bullseye.
They're wheat fields, thank you.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, as a person from Smallville, I guess you would know. So there's one kind of cute bug alien, and it's trapped under this log. So Lana rescues it like a good farm girl who's used to having to save animals who are stuck in things. And this bug alien,
the actual farm girl, would shoot that bug.
It's not dying, it's not injured, it's just trapped.
No, the real farm girl would shoot that
don't
bug.
Don't say that. You should shoot bug aliens. I'm going to go on the record.
Yes,
and say
exactly.
It right now. So this bug alien is like so grateful that it gives Lana a ring because she's a lady, so you have to give her jewelry. But little does Lana know.
And this alien has the same jewelry as humans?
That the ring is, quote, biogenetic, unquote, which I think means something different in the 60s. It basically means that Lana gets insect powers. Gross.
Lana, become my queen.
Basically, there are restrictions on these powers, though, kind of like Aladdin and the genie. Like, she can only cycle through each insect power or physical trait once a day. So if she decides she wants to...
she can only fly once?
If she wants to be a spider, she can only be a spider once a day. Or if she wants, like, traits like
That's a really lame
A ladybug,
limitation.
She can only do it once
that's,
a day.
That's almost as lame a limitation as Green Lantern's yellow.
Yeah.
Like, it can't affect anything yellow.
Well, it's the Silver Age.
That's true.
So using the power of a spider, she weaves herself some new clothes and makes a yellow and black costume that actually kind of looks like Bumblebee's costume that won't show up for 27 more years.
Sure.
Along with that costume, she's like, I should be a superhero, and names herself the Insect Queen because it's the Silver Age. Insect Queen goes on to have a handful of adventures that are super lame, including the ones where she teams up with Superboy. It's basically an excuse to give her power so her and Superboy could go out and punch stuff together. She eventually becomes a reserve member of the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah. So does Jimmy Olsen, remember?
Right. But I just thought this was wild because I had never heard of the Insect
Basically,
Queen
if you're,
before I read this. And I read a bunch of her issues. And then there's just, you know, if you go through, you can find reading orders for all the characters online. Then it's like, skip to the Legion of Superheroes. And you're just like, what?
If you're a friend of Superman and you were in the 50s or the 60s,
you're
in the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah,
they were desperate for members.
Except, was Lois ever in the Legion of Superheroes?
No, I don't think so.
Good for Lois.
But probably Ma Kent was one time.
She made them all wheat cakes.
No. Apple pie.
Oat cakes.
Come on.
Wheat cakes, that's an
Aunt. That's all May.
Fun fact, Lois also has a crazy uncle named Professor Potter, who is some type of inventor with the approximate skill level of Belle's father from Beauty and the Beast. He's actually most...
Disney references in this
thank
episode.
Thank you. Nailing it. he's actually most famous for being a supporting character in Superman's best pal, Jimmy Olsen. He doesn't think too much about the consequences of his actions and does such great things as evolving Jimmy into a hyper-intelligent monster guy from the year 1 million. Another time, he gives Jimmy flame breath, and then he clones an evil twin out of Jimmy.
So he's obsessed with Jimmy.
Yeah, he's Lana's uncle, but he lives in Jimmy's book. It's very strange. Despite all of these adventures, Lana, like Clark, doesn't ever leave Smallville until she goes away to university, and she goes away to study. What do you think she goes to study, Jason?
Well, in the Silver Age, I have no idea. I know later she becomes an electrical engineer. So Silver Age Lana, I'm going to say studies... fashion?
She studies journalism, just like Lois Lane.
Oh, that makes sense. Sorry.
That's totally
fine. That seems totally obvious
now. That's totally fine. After she graduates, she adorably becomes the co-anchor of a Metropolis local television station.
Yes.
WMET-TV. Get it? Metropolis Television.
Later, she's the anchor of WGBS.
Well, we'll get to that, okay?
Okay.
You're jumping the gun.
Sorry.
So by then, it's approximately the late 60s, and Lana is in full-on watered-down Lois Lane mode. She becomes a supporting character in Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane. And it might surprise you to learn that Lana's adventures during this decade or so aren't really awesome, so we're mostly going to skip over them.
Yay.
Until she starts growing a truly unique personality.
But Jason, I wanted to ask you really quick.
Yes.
Do you like Lana as a romantic rival for Lois? Or
no.
Do you prefer her as an adult as Clark's platonic bestie?
But she's Clark's platonic bestie. But I do think that Lois should be jealous of Lana.
Do you?
Yes. Well, here's the thing. I love Lois Lane.
Mm-hmm.
But Lois Lane is jealous because how could you not be jealous when you're dating a god?
Yeah.
I think wouldn't it always be at the bottom of your mind that you'd be like, oh, he's going to leave me at any moment?
I would say that maybe even more than that, because I do like Lana and Lois as having just sort of like this tacit understanding.
Yes.
It's not even that you're dating a god. It's that he's probably only had, and we'll get into the shift in her character and when this happens, he's probably only had one girlfriend before.
And it's Lana.
And it's Lana.
Well, I mean, he did date Lori Lamaris, who's the mermaid.
Right, but we talked about her.
Yeah.
She doesn't exist in my head, can it?
She does in mine, because I do believe that there is a period of time where Superman travels the world.
Well, people can request our Superman timeline, and Jason will, I'm sure, work that in.
By the way, I will tease this out there. We do have plans to do Superman chronological timeline sometime, mm-hmm. hopefully sooner than later. I have a very special guest that is tied actually to Superman
directly,
who has made a request to help teach that lesson.
So your best gets requested. It's one of our most requested.
If we see a big influx of people, guess what? We'll work it into the schedule. We'll have next couple months. Clark and Lana have a shorthand,
mm-hmm.
because they experience things that Lois can never understand.
Yeah.
Like, it's like going to war. Like, Lana and Clark have Smallville as a base understanding that Lois will never understand because she's a city kid.
Yeah.
Also, in my head canon, and I'm going to say this, and this is whatever.
I know what you're going to say.
I do believe that Clark lost his virginity to Lana.
I do, too. I kind of love that.
Yes. I do not subscribe to the theory that Clark loses his virginity with Lois. Because he can't control his powers. I think that's total BS.
Yeah. I also don't think Lois would stand for that.
Yep. And also, there's a Smallville episode about that as well.
So there you go.
I don't know. I think once Clark leaves Smallville, the love storyline is over with mm-hmm. Lana.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
And then they're just best friends.
Yeah. So beginning in the 1970s, Lana moves up in the world a little bit. Like I said, she's growing a personality.
Can I put a pause on that real quick?
Sure.
I just came upon this realization. I just wanted to say it to our listeners.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting to think that both of Superman's best friends, and I'm not counting Jimmy in this, Lois and Lana, women.
Yes. Yes, because they balance them out.
And then third Ma.
No, that's cute. Lana becomes the evening news anchor woman at WGBS TV.
Yeah.
Alongside Clark Kent.
Yeah, it's in the 70s when they wanted to make Clark a TV reporter.
Yeah.
Or TV anchor, excuse me.
I read a couple of these issues, and I actually think it's really adorable that they get to work together.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need it in my headcanon, but it's very sweet, and it's really well executed
kinda,
for the story that they're trying to tell.
It kind of works.
Yeah, it definitely does. I'm also very partial to this because post-1970s, Lana stops being romantically interested in Clark's Superman as an adult, and I think it's like the best turn her character ever took. And it's probably because around this time, Lois and Clark's relationship was solidifying and then subsequently popularized by the massively successful 1978 film Superman the Movie.
Yep.
And so Lana kind of has to take a back seat there.
Mm-hmm. Although Lana's in that movie.
Is she?
Yeah, she's a cheerleader. She has like
you're right. Yeah.
She has like two scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's not a real character there. However, just because Lana isn't interested in dating Superman, it doesn't mean that her physical attraction to extraterrestrials goes away.
Oh, good.
She has a brief romantic relationship with Vartox, beginning in the issue Superman number 375 in September of 1982 in a story called The Stoning of Lana Lang.
Ooh.
Vartox was famous at the time of his creation because he physically resembled Sean Connery, and is a minor footnote in contemporary pop culture for being a villain in the pilot episode of Supergirl. So if you've never heard of him, don't worry about it. I just think it's weird that she moves on from Clark and immediately has this horrible relationship with another alien.
Yeah.
Then Crisis on Infinite Earth happens and Lana gets some retcons. Jason, what is Crisis on Infinite Earth?
DC Comics said we had too many universes, so they created this character called the Anti-Monitor. And what did the Anti-Monitor do? He ate universes and killed Superman characters. So he showed up, he ate some universes, nope. He killed some Superman characters. Supergirl! And then he eventually reset the entire DC universe to one Earth, and everything that happened before this storyline did not happen.
There you go.
Brand new DC, shiny, clean DC universe.
The first time Lana appears post-crisis is in The Man of Steel, 1986
John
series.
Byrne.
Written and drawn.
Yep.
By Mr. John Byrne.
One of the legendary comic book creators of all time.
Absolutely. This miniseries was conceived of to reintroduce Superman's origin to a new continuity, so Lana appears with an unrequited crush on Clark Kent, who likes her but doesn't like her. And then on the night that they graduate high school, Clark basically, like, corners her and takes her off on a walk together and confesses to her that he has superpowers. And the whole time, she literally thinks he's going to get down on one knee and propose to her, even though they've never dated. Clark clears this up by casually flying Lana around the world and kissing her goodbye, which is described later by Lana as like, oh, he kissed me like a brother.
And I remember that line.
Look, my brother never kissed me, so I don't know. I get it. You're trying to justify this.
I don't want to derail the lesson to talk about, look, it's fine if siblings kiss each other on the cheek. Come on.
Oh, sure. But to me, like, that line is put on to
because
it's a very romantic gesture between two characters that are not siblings.
I was like, let's not get into your sibling problems.
You know, it's not like that sends any mixed messages at all. Mm-hmm. Lana is confused, not only by the revelation of Clark's powers, but that he doesn't return her feelings. And a few issues later, there's a time jump, and readers learn that Lana kept feelings of heartbreak over this incident to herself until she and Clark were both adults, and she kind of blows up at him for it.
Yeah.
This confession didn't help her feel much better, and Lana falls into a depression afterward, and when Superman started to become a fixture in the public eye, she basically stalks him. And Lex Luthor, who was also stalking Superman, though in a much more evil kind of way than Lana was, he discovers that Lana has been following Superman around and that she's been at all these scenes of these crimes and stuff like that. So he has her kidnapped and tortured to learn everything that she knew about the Man of Steel. This is actually a great moment for Lana because she protects Clark's secret identity and doesn't give away anything that could be hurtful. So it's kind of a nice hero turn at the end of maybe not a great storyline.
It's also when John Byrne reintroduced Luthor, he was unscrupulous.
Yes, he was, good word.
He was very, very evil.
Mm-hmm. So Superman winds up saving Lana, as you might have expected, and this mutual protection for each other secures their friendship in a healthy manner. Hooray. It was then revealed that Lana had only been stalking him because she was under the control of the Manhunters that she was eventually freed from. So she's not that bad or weird after all, guys. It's all okay.
Hooray.
After this, Lana doesn't stay in Metropolis. Most of the time, she's a minor character in a Smallville scene. She'll crop up in a flashback or whenever Clark goes to visit his hometown. Because, you know, Clark Kent goes to visit his hometown because he wants to feel comfortable. And if you want to feel comfortable and you're a nerd, so you're like collecting things.
Okay.
You're going to want to check out a new product, a new project that we are launching called Pin Bomb.
Pin Bomb.
Pin Bomb marries all the cool things about a relaxing bath and the cool nerd collector mentality. And we are launching with handmade, all organic, all vegan, blue colored bath bombs that come complete with a Jason Inman designed Sherlock Holmes pin and our blue carbuncle bath bomb.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. Okay, hold on a second. Hold on. All right. So this is a bath bomb.
Mm-hmm.
With a pin that you can put on your jacket. So even if I don't like bath bombs,
mm-hmm.
I might like pins.
That's true.
And I can just give the bath bomb away to somebody.
You can give it away to the lady in your life or the man in your life who does enjoy it.
Or the insect alien underneath the log in your life.
Yes, the insect queen in your life who I'm sure also wants to feel pampered.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to blow up your fandom and blow up your bath, why not go check out our new launch? Go check out pinbomb.com. That'll take you to all the information that you need to know.
That's P-I-N-B-O-M-B.
That's right. Right. Thank you for spelling things.
Yes.
And because you're so amazing and you're going to support this and try this out and you've been an excellent student here at the Mind University, we have a discount code for you that'll get you 10% off Geek History Lesson, all uppercase, all one word. You've spelled it out when you found this podcast. You spelled it out when you tweet about this podcast. Enter that at checkout for 10% off of your first.
Basically gives you free shipping.
It does give you free shipping entirely off your first Pin Bomb. We're going to do them bi-monthly from here on out. And our first year's plan is all Sherlock Holmes. So we're starting with the world's only consulting detective. If you like Batman, you'll like this too.
Yeah, cool. So yeah, go check that out, guys. If you like pins, if you like bath bombs or, you know, hey, it's a great gift idea or whatever. whatever, mm-hmm. pinbomb.com.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So now we're going to skip right ahead to Superman Birthright.
Holy moly, that's a skip.
Yeah, it is. Because like I said, Lana kind of just hangs around.
Well, yeah, but this is like a retelling of his origin.
That's why we're skipping to it. Yes, the 2003 series written by Mark Waid, art by Len Francis Yu. Like Jason mentioned, it's another retelling of Superman's origin, which of course cannot be done without Lana Lang being present. Fun fact, this series was described as taking inspiration from the Smallville television series, which I think is very interesting. And I think it's apt because Lana is obviously a huge fixture of that show, and she's pretty important to this storyline.
Yep.
Clark and Lana do have a romantic relationship as teenagers that they both grow out of when they leave home. Clark goes on a trip around the world, he dates a mermaid, and sometime while he's gone, Lana leaves and, you know, to go out in the world and do her own thing. I like that, you know, there are some people who ship Lois and Clark. There are some people who ship Lana and Clark. But I like that Lana doesn't just sit around pining for Clark and waiting for him to maybe come back to her. She goes out in the world and she does her own thing. And this, to me, is a turning point in her character where she becomes the strong, independent woman that she is today. And that allows her to become Superwoman, which is why I wanted to mention Birthright.
Okay.
Then Crisis, Crisis happens.
Man, we are just like we're leaving the 90s behind.
Yeah, we are.
You don't want to talk about Lana marrying Pete Ross? You don't want to talk about Lana being the wife to the president of the United States?
Yeah, we will, but...
Okay.
So, Jason, what's Infinite Crisis?
Infinite Crisis is where Superboy Prime shows up. He was a leftover from Crisis on Infinite Earths. He doesn't like that there aren't many Earths, so he starts punching the walls of reality to create many Earths, and he starts attacking Earth, and guess what? He gets his wish. He attacks the Earth, he gets captured by the Green Lantern Corps, he kills a couple of fake Supermen, and he brings back the Infinite Earths.
Yeah, so post this retcon, the really only thing that changes for Lana is she gets two brothers out of it, who whenever she goes and runs around
I didn't know that.
To make out with Clark, they get in her way, and they're one of the reasons that eventually drives their relationship apart.
Okay. I did not know about these brothers. Interesting.
Yeah, they suck, and they only exist for like one storyline retelling the origin. She later marries Pete Ross, like Jason said, who is a supporting Superman character and a fellow Smallville citizen who you might remember from being that weird redheaded looking kid from Man of Steel.
But in real world chronology, that happens somewhere in the early 90s, I think, if I can remember.
I looked at a couple Superman timelines, and this is narratively considered to be now.
Sure.
Just bear with me, guys. Superman is complicated. Lana and Pete have a baby son that they name Clark, which is cool. I don't have good feelings about them being married, but it's a thing that happened.
Yeah. Comic book Pete Ross, well, all versions of Pete Ross are not good characters. Even in Smallville, it's a terrible character, even though he was in the first three seasons and then he went crazy and went to jail, that actor. But even in Man of Steel, they make Pete Ross a joke. And again, in the comics, you could kind of tell they were like, well, we don't know what to do with Pete Ross, so, guess what? He's the running mate for Lex Luthor.
Right.
And you're like, why?
We'll get to that. He's sort of the Flash Thompson, to use the Spider-Man analogy. Like, they're stuck with this character that they created, and they just don't know what to do with him, and nobody wants to let go of him.
But the interesting thing is that at least with Flash Thompson, they came up with something interesting because they made him a veteran, and then they made him Venom.
Right.
Which I actually thought is the best Flash Thompson thing ever.
I agree, but it took them decades. Pete Ross might have his due coming.
Maybe in the next 10 years.
Maybe. So baby Clark kind of has a hard time coming into this world. Lana is in a car accident and gives birth to him 8 weeks early, forcing her to beg Superman to fly him to where he can receive the care that he needs. While Superman is flying with his baby namesake, he's attacked by Doomsday, who's under the control of Brainiac at the time. And Brainiac gets his weird alien hands on baby Clark's DNA, which he then tries to use to create a new corporeal form for himself. But it's okay, because this brings the baby to full term and he lives. It's super weird. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Pete Ross then becomes a senator for the state of Kansas. And when Lex Luthor decides he's going to run for vice president, he's like, president. He goes, hey, other redheaded guy from Smallville, except he's blonde in the comics.
He's blonde in the comics,
Want to be my vice president? So Pete Ross says yes, they win. This forces Lana to move to Washington, D.C. During the President Luthor storyline, Pete becomes president.
Yeah, because Luthor gets kicked out of office.
That's right. And Lana becomes the first lady. As you might imagine, this drives a wedge between Lana and Pete and opens up the space for Clark's affections to sneak back in. However, Clark was married to Lois at the time, and she's not too happy about this, and I would agree with her personally. Mm-hmm. The storyline culminates in Luther getting wiped out of the equation for a while and Lana becoming the CEO of LexCorp.
Yeah, because she divorces Pete, I believe, while Pete is president.
Yes, and then, it's a big deal.
Yeah, and then... And then Lana becomes CEO of LexCorp, which is kind of weird.
It is weird. It's a good idea in the beginning.
Yes.
It's an interesting turn for the character. We're halfway through the pivot of her really solidifying this identity of herself as like strong, capable woman. But then it sort of all falls apart because like all things Luther, Lana sadly becomes a little bit corrupted by association.
Mm-hmm.
She even goes so far as to sell kryptonite to the American government in order to keep her company afloat.
Yep. Which I believe is during Infinite Crisis.
This leads to Superman and Batman learning that LexCorp has caches of kryptonite all over the world. They demand that Lana turns it over to them. She refuses. And in a move that's like not an overreaction in the slightest, she turns all the kryptonite into dirty bombs and dispels kryptonite molecules all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
This culminates in a personal confrontation between Lana and Superman, and they wonder what would have happened if they had gotten married instead of Lana marrying Pete and Clark marrying Lois. Superman says that Lois would never have pushed the button and set off the kryptonite, and that's how he knows he made the right decision.
That's right.
Because they have a healthy relationship and they love each other.
I remember the storyline, and I believe it's during Superman Batman, that series.
It is, yes.
Because I think there's a later storyline where he cleans it up. He cleans up all the kryptonite in the world.
And they use robots to do it.
Yes, and then Shane Davis designs an amazing new Superman suit.
Yes,
really cool.
Shane Davis draws beautiful, man.
But to me, that's not Lana.
I agree with you. I know exactly what you're saying.
Lana would not push that button. She would never push that button.
I understand that narratively they were driving towards this revelation that like, oh, even though I love Lana, Lois is the better person.
Mm-hmm.
I think there would have been a better way to do it than dispelling kryptonite all over the world.
I agree.
But to me, it tells you more about what it is to be associated with Luther in any way.
Yep.
Even tangent, like Lex is not in charge of Lana at this point, but just being around the Luther brand corrupts you.
Sure.
Lana continues on in her position at LexCorp and then goes out of her way to send the Luther Squad out to help Superman when he battles foes like Atlas, kind of as that storyline
wraps up. Those are basically like his private army in sort of Iron Man suits that were supposed to be like helping the police.
That were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
This violates her contract with LexCorp that states that she is forbidden from helping any Kryptonians and she leaves the building and her job under penalty of death.
What a specific clause in your contract.
It is. I took a look at this issue and it literally says in the very, very fine print. And I was like, in the Deus Ex Machina to get her out of LexCorp, it's fine.
Yeah.
Sterling Gates, friend of the podcast, who you've heard here a number of times, then folds Lana into his 2008 Supergirl run as a friend and mentor to Kara Zor-El. Lana becomes the editor of the business section of the Daily Planet because she needs a job. And Supergirl gets a new identity, Linda Lang, as Lana's niece. She wears a wig and they live together in Metropolis. While attending an event with Cat Grant and Jimmy Olsen, Lana collapses with a bloody nose and is rushed to the hospital where she dies and a giant cocoon encases her. What could this possibly be but a new take on the Insect Queen?
Everyone's
favorite. Her from earlier.
Everyone's favorite character.
She has a bunch of bug workers who capture Supergirl for the Insect Queen.
Insect Queen, Lana.
And then the Insect Queen reveals that she is a different personality who's been slowly taking over Lana's DNA for months now because she wants to breed her insect people with Kryptonians to create a hybrid army, which is just gross. Supergirl winds up saving Lana, but then tells her that they can't live together because Lana lied about the illness that she had been struggling with.
Jeez, Supergirl, chill out.
Kind of a cold end for them.
Yeah,
then the new 52 happens. Jason, what's the new 52?
Barry Allen runs back in time because he misses his mommy. And in the chaos of it, all the ruckus he caused in the time stream, he basically wipes out everything of all of his friends in his entire history. And we're now in a brand new universe where everything we just talked about didn't happen?
Yes. Lana basically gets the I grew up with Clark Kent, we dated as teenagers origin. She gets some really great stuff to do in Greg Pak and Aaron Cooter's action comic storyline.
Yeah, it's great.
Fun fact, this is one of my all-time favorite Lana Lang storylines in the history of forever, and the first one that I ever read because Jason gave it to me. The Lana Clark teenage romance is reestablished. Lana knows about Clark's identity before anybody else except his parents. Lana leaves Clark behind in Smallville, but tells him that she would always love him and strikes out on her own to make her mark on the world. This quest becomes partially inspired by the large-scale good things that Lana sees Clark doing in the world in his identity of Superman, which I really love that she takes inspiration from him. I think that's very sweet.
Yes.
She works as an electrical engineer, which Jason talked about, and also travels all around the world, including South America
doing
and
like charity
Africa.
Work.
Yes.
Yeah.
In pursuit of alternative energy sources and with the intention of bringing power to every citizen.
Yeah.
There's a great subplot where she discovers this cute little blue alien named Baka that she thinks need protecting, but is actually the leader of a subterranean race. Lana brings on Superman to help her help Baka understand that he has to accept his destiny and the responsibility that comes along with it.
It's a great storyline.
Really great.
It's a really good storyline.
At this time, the tables have turned, and Clark is still struggling with romantic feelings for Lana while she's happy with their platonic relationship.
Because we need to make clear that in this continuity, Clark is single.
He is single. Yeah. Lois is not a big part of the New 52.
No, sadly.
But I appreciate that now we get to this point where he's longing for her, but she is self-actualized.
Yep.
It's a direct foil to how they started, mm-hmm. and I really, 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 really like it. Earth 2, Lana crops up in Future's End. She comes to Earth 1 as a refugee fleeing from the destruction at the hands of Darkseid. She's not that interesting.
No.
So we'll skip to DC Rebirth.
Yay!
DC
so now
Rebirth.
Some of the old stuff is in continuity again, and Superman's married to Lois and has a baby named Jonathan.
We're not going to go into this in huge amount of depth because it is the current continuity, but it is revealed that the pre-crisis Superman and Lois coming through the fabric of comic book time and space gives metahuman powers to Lana Lang and
New 52 Lois Lane.
Lana gets the 1990s electrical Superman red powers.
Oh, yes, she does. She becomes... Okay, now I want to talk about this because this is a specific memory for me.
Jeez. Okay.
Yeah. So I got the first issue of Superwoman a little bit early, and this is the Rebirth issue, and I was reading it. If you remember on the cover, it's Superwoman Lois Lane.
Yes.
And it's a Phil Jimenez cover because he wrote and drew like the first three to four issues.
This was a Lois book.
Because we all thought it was a Lois book. And then about halfway during the book, Lana Lang like electrifies and then gets a version of the red electric Superman. And I literally freaked out. And I was like, oh my God, they brought back Superman red.
I remember you yelling about it.
Yeah. I so want that action figure.
More than anything.
But it's surprising because it was the big switcheroo that the book's actually about Lana.
Yes. Yeah. Which is so great. Lana also rekindles her romantic relationship with John Henry Irons, a.k.a. Steel.
I don't know how much I like that relationship.
Who she shares protecting Metropolis duties with.
Do you like that?
I do like it. I like it because it gives her a Superman.
Oh,
who's not
I never thought
Clark,
about it that way. Okay.
And to me, it's a good choice because it also gives Steel something. I think Steel's an underserved character.
I 100% agree with you because I'm a big fan of Steel's solo series, and I think he's one of the best characters of the 90s. I just, from what I know of the character of John Henry Irons, mm-hmm. I'm just like, I don't think Lana's his lady.
I also like it because he, of all the potential Supermans that she could have had, he's the most different, and I think, again, the most self-actualized and individual. Like, he's a Superman, but he's as far from
he's
Clark
human.
Kent as possible.
Yeah,
exactly. I actually like it because in this series, Lon has a very fiery personality, I guess kind of as an answer to her red powers, and he has to ground her. Mm-hmm. I think they do a good job at playing up their relationship in that manner, and I like her taking on a mentor role again to Natasha Irons,
yep.
kind of like she did in the Supergirl book. Mm-hmm. So,
are we going to talk about Superman anymore?
If you want.
Well, I was going to say that I think Superwoman, you should definitely read the first trade.
Yeah.
Because it's one of these books that the idea is so good and you're just like, this idea shouldn't work. And it does work. Because one of the best things about Rebirth was that everything Superman rocked. New Superman was awesome. Super Sons is awesome. Action Comics is awesome. Superman's awesome. Superwoman's awesome. this idea shouldn't work. Lana Lang getting powers shouldn't work, but it does.
It does.
And the only reason the book fails, and I think the book gets canceled, is because they decided to do this event called Superman Reborn in the middle of Rebirth. And they
kind of torpedoes
it did because
the whole premise of the book.
Superman Reborn basically says that everything in Superman's continuity is now back in continuity. And when you do that, that means that Lana got her powers specifically from the New 52 Superman dying.
Yeah.
And when you take that event away, you're just like, well, how did Lana get her powers then? It makes no sense.
Yeah, and you can sort of...
It killed the book.
You can tell that the momentum of the book just gets completely lost.
But the first trade, I think, is well worth reading.
Absolutely. Yep. It's... why don't we do that so that we don't spoil any more of the plot of the book that's over? We can hop right into recommended reading.
Yeah, recommended reading, guys, is where we have the full list of all of our choices from the podcast. You know, we tell you these are the books you should read in case you want to check out Lana Lang. You go to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. You click on that widget, and I'll take you right to Amazon, you pick that book up.
There you go. So because Jason mentioned it, Superwoman Volume 1, Who Killed Superwoman, is definitely on there. I love Lana as a superhero. I didn't know it was something that I needed.
And her friendship with Lois in that book is actually really good, too.
It is, and it's earned in a way that it hasn't been.
And the art's fantastic.
It is. I appreciate them as friends instead of rivals. We'll just go back in time then.
Sure.
I'm also going to recommend Supergirl, Who Is Superwoman.
And that's where Lana and Supergirl together?
That is the first volume of Lana and Supergirl together. I like including her in continuity this way, in a way that she gets a starring role, but she doesn't overpower or come as a rival against Lois. To me, that's a concern. Start here. If you like it, read the rest of the Supergirl run. It's really good. And then if you want to see kind of where modern Lana comes from, The Man of Steel, Volume 1 by John Byrne, because prior to this, she's a very different character than who she is now. And this is where the shift starts. I also just think The Man of Steel is one of the Superman family books that you should read if
it's
you're interested in them.
It's a must-read Superman story.
So there you go.
I was surprised you didn't suggest one of the Action Comics New 52.
So I wanted to, but I thought that these three books put put Lana in more of a starring role.
Okay, cool.
So
no worries. Let's go into discussion.
Also, because we have three recommendations.
It's fine.
Jason, do you like I mentioned that I like, do you like Lana as a mentor or as a supporting character better in her function in the
story? She's not a mentor.
You don't like her as a mentor?
Well, she's not a mentor to Clark because they're the same age.
No, I mean like she does for Supergirl, for example, or like she does to Natasha Irons.
No.
Okay, that's fine.
No.
Do you think she should be leading a title?
Ooh, that's tough. I don't know, because before Superwoman, I would have said no, but then Superwoman really convinced me. And again, I never thought about Lana as a superhero before.
Yeah, I agree.
But she kind of like fit in a perfect role. I don't know. You know, to be honest with you, if Lana's going to be a mentor, I really think she should be a mentor to Jonathan Kent.
I would love
Kent,
that.
Because she could be like, look, I remember when your dad had these powers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also subscribe to the fact that she... Like Smallville, the series, she knew that he had powers before he left Smallville. I don't ascribe to the Man of Steel version. I ascribe to sort of a mix of Superman Secret Origin, which is the Geoff Johns retcon.
Yes.
Clark saves her from a combine.
Mm-hmm.
And he flies her out of the way. And that's the first time that she realizes it. And they're like 12, I think, when that happens.
Yeah, they're young.
So, yeah. So that means that she knows, you know, for, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years before, you know, he leaves. So I don't know. I think she's just better as a friend.
Okay. Because I love Superwoman, and I thought including her in that way was fascinating, but I like her better as a civilian.
Yes, me too.
To me, the Action Comics, like, I'm an electrical engineer. I can just, with what I do, is enough to help. So I don't know if moving forward, if I need her to return to a superhero identity.
I agree.
Cool. Why don't we pivot right into the teaching tweet?
Wow, already into the teaching tweet? Okay. Teaching tweet is where, and so many people that are listening to this podcast say that they wanted us to keep the teaching tweet, so we are going to keep the teaching tweet, and that is where Professor Ashley is going to sum up Lana Lang in 140 characters or less, because we believe in original Twitter, and tell you what she thinks about it. And you can find this tweet at GHL Podcast on our Twitter.
Lana Lang, super underrated and super important because she's Superman's BFF.
All right. I like that.
Got
cool.
Lots of supers.
And then we're going to go into the end of the podcast where, guys, don't forget, if you can go over and leave us a 5-star review over on iTunes, it helps support the podcast. You can also listen to this podcast on Stitcher, and you can listen to this podcast on iHeartRadio, basically anywhere that podcasts work. And don't forget as well, to go check it out on Twitter at GHL Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, and follow Ashley on Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson. And if they want to suggest a future Geek History Lesson, Ashley, where can they do that?
Oh, you can do that at geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, and on Twitter at GHL Podcast.
Don't forget, if you want to support the show a little bit more and listen to plenty of exclusive podcasts over at our Hall of Justice at patreon.com/Jawin, you can hear Geek History Lesson Extra. We have plenty of stuff. What is today's Geek History Lesson Extra going to be about?
Today we're going to talk about Lana Lang and other media.
Lana Lang and other media. You know, it's going to be a lot of Smallville talk, babe. So don't forget to go over there. We have a writing podcast, all kinds of cool stuff. Before we end the podcast, hashtag stick around, the last section of our podcast where we just like you guys to stick around. Ashley, real quick.
Yeah.
Do you like that so many Superman characters have LL initials?
I don't.
Okay, why not? There's Lex Luthor, there's Lois Lane, there's Lori Lamaris, there's
Lana Lang,
there's Linda Lee, there's all kinds of characters.
Yeah, I just think it's lame. I don't like it. To me, that's a very golden and silver agey thing to do. And so I sort of appreciate the legacy of it from that perspective, but just give them different names, guys. Like, I don't like it when families name all their kids the same letter. Sorry if your family does that. I just think it's lame. Like, I can't give you a good reason why.
You want to know the official
sticks in my brain
reason why so many Superman characters have LL initials?
Because it's the House of L?
Nope, not at all. There is no reason.
Great.
There is officially no reason. A lot of people, there's a rumor out there.
I literally thought it was because it was House
of L. No, there is a rumor out there that Joe Siegel named Lois Lane LL because, like, his first girlfriend had LL initials. Now, that has never been proven or confirmed anywhere, but it has been kind of told that they sort of started down this LL route, and because of the alliteration of the Golden Age, kind of stuck.
I like it better in X-Men where characters have alliterative names, but it's not all the same letter.
Oh, like Scott Summers Warren Worthington.
And Stan Lee has famously said that
he loves alliteration.
He does that for his favorite characters.
Yes. Summers.
Peter Parker. Yeah. Yep. So I appreciate that a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's less annoying to me.
Exactly. It's a little weird that, all the characters that Clark meets all have LL names, but I take it as a challenge that, like, if I ever get handed the Superman,
you're gonna make a new LL.
I would make a new LL.
I legitimately thought when the new Superman family went into hiding, I thought that Jonathan was gonna get an LL secret. He was gonna be something Lane was gonna be his secret identity.
I love that.
Okay, well, you can have it. Copyright Geek History.
Well, because Clark was Clark Smith, I think, or whatever.
I don't remember.
I can't remember.
I want to say Hamilton, but that was the city that they lived in.
Hamilton was the city there. It doesn't matter. Anyways, hashtag stick around. Tell us how much you love the stick around at the very end. Thank you so much for listening. I am Jason Lanapai Inman.
Master Victoria Robinson.
And Professor Ashley closed this podcast out.
Class is now dismissed.